This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Wild Child. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome Kelsey Wilson and Alexander Beggins from Wild Child.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
And we are speaking to Kelsey and Alexander here at the Green Room in the Wilma Theater in Missoula. They're going to be performing at the Top Hat as we are recording this in, well, it's almost late October at this point. It's the 20th, so...
Is it really?
It is, yeah. That's where we stand. So based out of Austin, Texas, they've had some very high-profile features on NPR, The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson and CBS Saturday Morning, and as well have been involved in popular festivals such as the Austin City Limits Music Festival, Bonnaroo, and others. They have three recordings out, Fools, The Runaround, and the most recent recording, Pillow Talk.
Actually, reversed.
Reversed?
Pillow Talk, Runaround, most recent recording, Fools.
Well, see, that's why we have you here for the interview, to correct the host and let him know what's going on. I think one of the things that that struck me right from the start was the combination of instruments the band has going on. That's a really cool combo, violin, ukulele, keyboards, cello, bass, drums, and trumpet.
And banjo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the musical flavors and how those came together for the band.
It all happened in a very unique way. We're pretty much all by accident.
Yeah.
We didn't really have instruments in mind that we wanted. We just had so much material, and the two of us have been playing in bands around Austin for years before we started Wild Child, And it kind of became this, like, who wants to be in our band? Like, and whoever was available. So it kind of just pieced together that way. So it wasn't even, and our bass player was just a friend who, after a year of us touring, was like, I think you guys need a bass player. I'm going to join. It's all been very just naturally falling into place.
It's strange. I guess there's two ways that bands form, and one of them is, we're going to start a band now. What do we want it to sound like? What instruments do we want? Who do we want? You know, what's the sound going to be like? Like, what other bands is it shaped after?
What are our influences?
Sure. And with Wild Child, we just started writing songs together, Kelsey and I, and it kind of formed into our own sound. And we went in to record our first record, and it was very lo-fi. We rented out a house, like a dilapidated mansion in South Austin, and just started recording it. And you know, all the framework was just ukulele and violin and the two of us singing. So we started piecing it all together. I was like, you know, it'd be cool to add cello on this song.
It was like, I was in a band once, and I remember the drummer saying his little sister played cello, and that's how we got Sadie fresh out of high school.
Right. I mean, so like everything just kind of pieced together, like, very organically. And mm-hmm. when we finished the record, there was like enough cello parts where we had a cello player. And, and so, you know, we looked down and we're like, all right, well, here's our band, and it's big and it's full of really weird instruments, and it just kind of accidentally happened.
One of the quotes that struck me from your bio, or maybe it was another interview that I read, Austin's favorite gang of lost boys and girls have grown into fiercely skilled musicians. Tell me about that.
I've never heard that.
Oh, really? Well, that's a very compelling description of what's going on.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, I don't think that any one of us would call ourselves like a professional musician.
Even now.
I mean, I still like describe chords as like, oh, and then there's like this sad chord that looks like a bear claw. You know, like, I don't know what that is. I guess that's kind of why that description is so accurate, because it kind of feels like, you know, the Lost Boys and Hook, Peter Pan or whatever.
Definitely. We're the Wild Children, aptly named.
Yeah.
Definitely. Again, another accident. We did not plan that either.
The name?
I was playing in a band called Grandchild, and we were touring together as kind of the backing band, Kelsey and I, for this band called The Migrant from Copenhagen. And someone took a photo of us like out in the woods, and we were like dressed cool and just randomly out in the woods, and we were like, that's so stupid and band like And we're like, what would we call ourselves? And we're like, Wild Child, that's so
Grandchild would be so mad.
Right. And then it stuck. Yeah.
We started writing music together, and we were like, man, we accidentally just made Wild Child a real thing.
Babe, it's been so long. Can't believe you're right, you're smiling back at me. I know you're here. Nothing can go wrong. Every time I feel your touch, it sets me free. Too blind to see. Someday you think you'll
one of the other things that I came across was two kids too scared to sing for crowds discovered they could write hauntingly good songs together. And that was something that kind of drew you together initially.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit. It's an interesting angle.
So when we started our first show, we were both so nervous you have to learn how to capture the crowd and take the crowd and, you know.
And it was just the two of us.
It was just the two of us. We were literally like staring at each other so that we wouldn't be so nervous. And from the start, everyone was like, they're so in love. They're like, look at them. They're singing to each other. But we were just
terrified
straight. And it's gotten a lot easier over the last couple mm-hmm. years. I mean, having to be on the road, like you pick up tips and tricks and, you know, there's all these milestones. Like, of course, we were super nervous for late night TV for the first time. And
I mean,
Craig Ferguson came up right before we were about to go. It was like 30 seconds left and everyone was getting in place. And he came up and he was like, here's a tip. Don't screw up. Thanks, Craig.
Awesome. So nice meeting you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We've gotten, like, we're so lucky. We're at this point in our tours, like, there's so much love in the room, and people are singing with us and stuff. And it's hard to be nervous about what you're doing when there's a couple hundred smiling humans right in front of you singing right alongside of you.
Right.
It's hard to.
It's the times when they're not smiling.
Yeah, that's when it's hard. We had a rough time
when they're listening to the lyrics and not the ukulele.
Yeah, we had a rough time in Europe because of that. Germany in particular, because they don't really dance or smile normally at a show, and they kind of wait until the end of the whole set to applaud. Mm. So in between songs, there's
like a classical
silence,
composition or something.
Yeah, think that you convince yourself that everyone hates you.
Like the whole time, you're like, they just cannot wait for it to be over.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you are like, I remember one woman was like, you are like happy, happy sunshine. I will take 5 CDs.
Oh,
I was like, I was watching you the whole time and it looked like you wanted to punch me in the face.
Well, because from what I understand, I mean, and just from what you just said, I mean, you have a real appreciation for the folks who come out to your show and what happens. I think we call it like family therapy with dancing or something.
It is family therapy with dancing. Everything they're throwing at us is just, it's a perfect exchange.
We really try to connect with our fans. Like, we just wrote over 1,200 handwritten postcards our fans to
and
say,
took like 600 Polaroid, individual Polaroid pictures of random bandmates and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why you guys are doing well. I mean that's part of it, is that engagement with people.
Well, totally.
That's
and then, you know, we days. Get these messages like holding their postcard and like, thank you so much. Like, I've never gotten a postcard before from anyone, and it's from my favorite band. Like, but this is so cool. And they're like, did y'all write that? I'm like, yeah, check out my hand.
the music scene is just so saturated right now. There's such good music everywhere. It's really important to go the extra mile in any way that you can. And with your fans in particular, it's just so important and rewarding for you. Like, we're automatically all on the same ground. Like, everyone in the room has been through the same thing.
We never try and act like too cool for school.
Because we're not.
You know? Like, I can watch bands do that and I appreciate it. Like, I saw The Strokes recently and I was like,
they're so cool.
That was amazing. A, B, they're so cool. And they're rock stars. You know, we like to approach it like, hey, we're just like you. We're just playing and let's have a good time.
Shaky rings, stale taste for finer things. Have you thought of what it really means? Now let somebody in. If I said I'm ready now, would you, darling, show me how to blindly give it all out loud until to pass the time with me? Could you rid your devils, run through fields and meadows? Does it scare you when you think, when just to pass the time with me. Could you read your devils run through fields and meadows? Does it scare?
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Alexander Beggins and Kelsey Wilson from Wild Child. One of the quotes from your bio mentioned the fact that you are now playing, you know, sold out shows, these festivals in front of tons of people, hundreds, thousands of people. That's been the journey from, and they specifically said, from playing for 9 people. Mm-hmm. So any musician who's gone through the journey undoubtedly has had that moment of playing for 9 people. So I want to go back to that show in particular, if you can think of the show for 9 people. There may have been many of them, but the one that you were thinking of when you put this together.
There's our first show ever. We didn't tell anyone about it because we didn't want anyone there.
So shy.
We were so scared. We were playing in that band called Grandchild, and they asked us if we wanted to do like a little opening slot as Wild Child, just in this little coffee shop called the Spider House in Austin. It was a very large, very empty room. Pretty much the only people in there were the members of Grandchild, the other band that we were going to be playing with.
And there were 9 members?
Maybe a couple baristas behind the counter, but it was, I can remember all of it because it was the scariest night of my life.
I think for me, it was during our first tour that was essentially self-booked in Florida for most of it for some reason. And we were playing at like a vintage clothing store.
It
was really weird. And the sound
was a record shop, vintage
terrible.
Clothing store.
And there was only a couple people there, and they didn't care at all. And I remember thinking, like, are we going to be okay? Like,
is this what we want
to
do?
Like, is this how I choose to spend my time, to drive down to Florida to play?
And the person who played right before us was a woman who wrapped herself in saran wrap.
Yeah.
That was her performance, and we had to follow that. We're just confused.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Terrified.
It's like this general feeling of, like, made a huge mistake.
I need to go back to my day job.
But, you know, I mean, everyone's got the stories from when they first started out, and we're no different. But luckily for us, there's just been kind of like a general very slow growth and build. Every time we're back into town, you know, we like double the size of the crowd.
It feels more sustainable than it ever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. The sustainability of it, as well as, I guess I was going to ask the question, do you feel that the fact that it's happened in that manner, in kind of a gradual manner, has kind of felt more, that's what I'm looking for, just easier to kind of come to terms with, you know, as opposed to playing for 9 people and then playing, something happened, like you said, because that does happen every once in a while. And then all of a sudden you are playing in Bonnaroo. And
this is the only way that it could have happened for us.
Yeah.
You know, if we had hopped on and did our first festival at Bonnaroo without having a couple years under our belts to like actually become musicians and learn how to you know, ride a crowd. And
yeah, we would have crashed and burned.
We would have crashed and burned. Mm. And so it's, you know, it's been fortunate that it's taken us this long.
Yeah. You hear a lot of stories about bands who just randomly get a radio hit and then they're booked to play like hour and a half headliner slots at festivals, but they don't even have a record, or they don't have enough material, or they don't have you just can't sustain that for very long. There's just no way to follow it up.
Yeah.
So luckily we did a record by ourselves. We did a record with a small little local label help. And now we have like a bigger label, official record. Like we've just been slowly climbing and doing everything on our own completely until now. So now that we have a booking agent and a label and a manager and all these things, we're actually ready for them and we can utilize mm-hmm. them as best as possible.
Well, I have to say, you are right. All musicians have those stories.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the first one I've heard of having an opening act. Was a performance artist that wrapped herself in Saran wrap?
That was weird.
That was weird.
I'm pretty sure she was a man, and then she wrapped herself in Saran wrap and became a woman.
No way.
Yeah, so there's a gender swap involved as well. There's it wasn't just
message,
Saran wrap.
I don't know what the message was.
The message was he...
That's too much.
Was whatever he wanted to be.
Cocoon?
Yeah, some kind of cocoon.
Sure, all right.
And then was a butterfly. It definitely was not an easy act to follow.
I'll bet.
At all.
Oh,
like yours. Feel my heart stop in place. I lower my lips from his to see your empty face. Feel your chest against my back, a heart beating so slow. The scars I left behind, your eyes in pain, I'll never know.
Waiting alone on the porch until two, my cigarette.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Kelsey Wilson and Alexander Beggins from the band Wild Child. www.wildchildsounds is the name of the website, and that's where you can find out more information about the band, their shows, their recordings, and the most recent of which, as we mentioned earlier, is not Pillow Talk, but is in fact Fools. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. A lot of great stuff going on for the group. Thank you so much for making time to be a guest on Musician Spotlight. It's great talking to you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, good time. Woo!
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Wild Child. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is available as a download from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Top Hat for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.